You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. Follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, no longer powered by Tumblr, where you can get all previous 300-some-odd episodes there. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, everywhere you get podcasts except for you know where and you know why. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. Where else are we at, Doc?
TikTok. No, I'm just kidding.
Yo, listen, my daughter's really trying to convert me into like a TikTok aficionado, and I don't like it.
Look, we're gonna need it. We're gonna need a dance record for the project.
Listen, when West Side Gunn is announcing that he has a dance to go with his song, we're in a different place now.
Did he do that?
Yeah. So his video, he's doing a video for Eurostep, and he showed like a clip of it on his Instagram, and there's a bunch of kids dancing, and then the next post, he's like, "Yo." Okay, you got to do it like the aggressive West Side Gunn voice. Like, yo, mad people was asking about the dance. So, yo, I had to have my youngins came out and they did a dance. It's called the Eurostep. We going viral. I don't know if he's doing a hashtag Eurostep challenge. Like, I'm sure he is. But he hyped that whole thing up and it was like some kid and his son and they were doing the dance. And it's like 2020, y'all.
I feel like anytime rappers of a certain generation are trying to do this, it gives off a real strong, like, enhanced CD vibe. Remember, like, the late 90s? It'd be like, yeah, we're into this technology.
Enhanced CD.
You remember those?
Of course.
Trash.
Of course. All of them.
Trash.
All of them were terrible. Yo, the Wu-Tang Forever one was horrible.
Oh.
Man, that was a time. Jesus. Woof.
So yeah, no TikTok for us, but follow us on most of the other socials. Go to clockradiospeakers.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram if you want, at @doc_beats_s9z. Once I get my head up out of like finishing our project, I gotta put more beats on Instagram again.
Yeah, you kind of alluded to Instagram. They was hating on the kid, so was all that squared away?
Wait, what happened to Instagram?
I don't know. You said Instagram was playing with your emotions.
Oh no, I think I was just being funny.
Oh okay. Oh my bad. All right.
Well, apparently too subtle.
Oh okay. And so now that you know we're you know rounding where are we at with our project? We're heading in the third.
So as somebody who manages projects for a living, sometimes I can tell you the part of the problem is like you think you're 80% of the way through, but there's like another 80% after that 80%.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think so either. Right. I'm feeling kind of confident. I think I was sitting down on the couch just before we sat down to record this episode. And I was playing through the most recent mixes with Marissa and we're real close.
We're real close.
You got one more song. We got to finish.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're very close.
We might. Are we putting ad-libs? You still want me to do ad-libs on the intro?
Now that I fixed the mix, I think it's
better now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that happens, right? You're like, I don't think this is
it's not cutting through. And it's then, like, oh yeah. So I'll just,
okay. Yeah.
Here's the problem. I like, you know, when I mix beats, I mix them with loud samples and it turns out sometimes that's a problem. So just got to turn that down a bit, you know, anyway.
Turn it down. Yeah. It's so crazy. We've talked at length about, you know, my frustrations with creating and, you know, putting stuff out and like, bro, what are we like week eight into this team time?
Yeah, this is the eighth week. I lost all track. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I'm like, yeah. Like, yeah. I thought I really spent most of my day thinking today was Wednesday.
Like, oh, hump day already. Great.
Right.
Not so fast. And so, like, out of nowhere, it just hits you. It's an RKO. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm in a really good space, and I wanted to make sure. And what I was doing, so some of you guys have heard, you know, I did the Sunday School with Red Letters. I've done the Spread Gems, Not Germs Challenge. Done a couple other records. Got some other things coming in the pipeline. And it's almost like you just take advantage of that, those moments of creativity, like where things begin to sort of... like calm down, you get over yourself and it just comes. And so I warmed up. Those things got me in a good place. And when you guys hear this music, like Doc really, it's not going to be a bunch of 723s. I keep telling him that. And I had a conversation with Taylor the other day about the project. And I was like, it's not a bunch of like hippity hop boom bap records, though those are present. You know, we do what we do, but Doc with the production really stretched me as a writer. Or not as a writer, as a rapper. Writing wasn't hard. It was, let me make sure that I'm not, and I got to get it, and I got to go in, and I got to get it. Because these tempos are different. They're not all 90 BPM. And that was great. It was a great thing because on top of that, the beats are really, really good. And I wanted to make sure that like I kept up, you know, because this is a showcase for Doc too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like a lot of you guys don't really know where Doc can go. You know what I'm saying? And I think this might even pull some stuff out of him. Like, we talking about like the album's already done, but I'm just happy that we went from being maybe to like we're rounding the corner.
Yeah, we turned the corner for sure. So I'm so excited for everybody to hear this stuff. My God.
Yeah, man. And it's gonna be quick too. We're gonna turn this around quick. Once we finish this, I don't foresee us holding on to it for too long. Our Patreon people are gonna, you know, get that early. So if you are not a Clock Radio Speakers Patreon member and you wanna hear this project in all of its pristine glory, I highly suggest you. Actually, I don't even know how we're going to put that out.
Let's just say
we might do it just for the streets.
Well, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you're definitely going to get something a little earlier. But yeah, I mean, you know, the higher tier, you know, we'll take the kind of jingle, but we prefer the kind of folds. The higher tier, you know, might have to get a little earlier, I'm saying. Maybe something exclusive. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel you. I agree.
So we have a new project from your man, Aubrey Graham.
Yes.
We've got a new number one single from the new group, The Scots.
Yes.
Before we get to that, did you see the thing I texted you about a little bit before the show started?
Yeah. I was watching. My wife and I were trying to sneak in an episode of Little Fires Everywhere. So I didn't. I looked at it, but I was like, "What is this?"
So there's a website. There's a website called RoyaltyExchange.com where people put their royalties up for auction. And there are some interesting things here with interesting titles, right? So like, as an example, like one of these titles says, Anderson .Paak and 50 Cent songwriter royalties. And I was like, what is that? And the bid right now is up to $130,000. And so you dive in and they detail what's in there and you realize what they're doing is they're using big name artists that this person has worked with to get the songwriter royalties. But when you look at the list of tracks that are included, you realize that I'm looking at the listing for Hi-Tech's songwriter royalties, all of them.
Mm.
So, because they're talking about like work with Anderson .Paak, but they're talking about Respiration, Definition, Blast, Move Something, Get in My Car. That's all Hi-Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're telling me. So for what's fascinating about this is that means that Hi-Tech or somebody representing Hi-Tech is selling his lifetime like songwriter royalties up to this point, but it tells you how much he's made off that in the last 12 months, which, I mean, it's kind of rough, actually. Like, in the last 12 months, this package of royalties has earned $26,000 and change.
Yeah.
Hi-Tech, very successful producer, right? Not like Just Blaze level, right? But a known producer. That's rough, man. Royalties are not what they used to be. But like, yeah, for $130,000, you could go put a bid in.
Okay, so I thought you were gonna say that was like a group buy.
No, it's not a group buy. It's like you could go buy the royalties for Hi-Tech's music.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's interesting stuff here. Like somebody's songwriting credit on Jay's Empire State of Mind sold for $190,000 because that song alone, like whoever's royalties that is that they're selling for that song alone. Over the last year has earned more than all of Hi-Tech's royalties put together.
Mm.
That's what a big hit can do for you. What is this? Who? This is just, let's see, multi-platinum hip hop. Yeah, we know. I wonder who this is. This is a more recent. Oh, I think I'm looking at Ja Lil Beats royalties.
Holla?
Yeah. Meek Mill, Bobby Shmurda, French Montana, Diddy, Drake. Yeah. So he just sold his for $900,000. But this is just like a website where anybody can go through and like see what's for sale. And I was like, What in the world is going on?
That's crazy.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, I wonder if you could, for like a particular, like, because people are selling like individual songs. Like, honestly, if you want, this would be a really weird way. Like, I don't know. To me, like, you could go through if it's like, imagine if there's like a song that you've been trying to get cleared for a sample and you could just go buy it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what do you think about that? Isn't there like some sort of library that's,
yeah,
you know, yeah. What is that?
There's at least one side I know of where it's basically like they're pre-negotiating. They're like, oh, this song, if you sample it and all, you know, we'll give you a flat rate to, you know, and we'll give you the following permissions and you don't have to go through approval. You don't have to go ask the artist. It's just like, it's a pre-negotiated thing, which I think makes a lot of sense and is super smart. I think the interesting thing there is they're still trying to get, and I think that just reflects where hip hop is right now, where like, you know, if streaming weren't as successful, if we were still relying on CD sales, where there was actual real money still coming in from royalties, right?
Right.
If we were still relying on that, then you could see a world where maybe what you do is you like, oh, yeah, you can sample this, but you have to give up 25%. And that's just the pre-negotiated. You know what I mean? Like a percentage of the back end. But now streaming, because of streaming, royalties are not what they used to be. So it's, they're still doing it upfront cost. But, you know, if you're like making music professionally, like, and you want to sample, but you don't want to get caught by surprise, like, seems like a pretty interesting middle ground.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe that, like, you can buy, like, there's a website. Wait, the royalties for Hail Mary?
Now, wait, is it Hail Mary or is it Hail Mary 2003 with Eminem?
It's the song, 56, it's the song Hail Mary. It's the Rhymes. Song Hail Mary.
Busta Rhymes called Ja Rule Jeff.
Oh man, you could get some Flo Rida royalties. Iconic hip hop from who's this? Collect royalties from Hard Knock Life plus other songs. Who produced? See, I want to just go through this and see who's selling royalties. Interesting. Who produced? Interesting. Oh, who is this? I don't know. Now I'm super intrigued by who this is. But anyway, yeah, this is out there. Who knew? I'm rambling right now, so I'll stop. But yeah, so that's a thing. So we've got two projects. We got one song, one project to talk about. Is there anything else you want to talk about this week, Armand?
No, we talked about The Last Dance for our Patreon listeners.
Yep.
No, I think we had a really good conversation. We also had a good conversation about, you know, Drake and Kendrick and music in quarantine, and maybe that will get readdressed. But I think the initial conversation was also really good. So, I think this episode might be kind of light. And anytime we say that, we end up recording for 3 hours. And I never checked if there was anything else going on. So actually, let me do that. We normally do that for our Patreon listeners. So I'm going to do this in real time, but we can start wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I didn't really see a whole lot that was brand new or that was going on. I mean, you know, unless you want to talk about your man Abel on American Dad, a show I did not know was still on the air.
Yeah, no, I'm good. No, thanks. Oh, here we go. You asked on the pre-show, what are the Migos doing? They have a record out called Taco Tuesday.
You know, it is Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo, and it's Taco Tuesday. So I know a lot of people who partake in the alcoholic beverages are upset.
I'm upset just because I really want some good Mexican right now.
I feel you. I get it.
What's your go-to at a Mexican restaurant?
I don't like Mexican food.
Oh, no.
If you can't tell by when I was out in Connecticut, I was raised to be a very particular eater.
Oh, so. I know. I made the mistake of cooking Armand some like medium rare steak, and he was just very polite, like,
It was no, the steak was good. It was just I wanted a burger.
Yeah, you're like. You're like, nah, I'm good.
Nah, I was good.
That was good. All good, man.
Yeah, it was good. It's all good.
Well, I was sitting out there with my sous vide and my torch.
You did, yeah. I never had that. Threw me off more than it being a steak. I eat steak, but I'm like, yo, this dude is like has a torch out and he's cooking steak. Where am I? I am in Connecticut,
in the streets.
Yeah, literally in the streets. Do we want to talk about this Chris Brown and Young Thug Slime and B mixtape?
Did you see your girl Brandy linked up with Chancellor the Rapper?
Another opportunity for opportunity.
So
I didn't.
You should actually hear it because your man Hit Boy did the beat.
Okay,
and it's actually pretty good.
Okay,
I was pleasantly surprised.
I don't have my speaker because it started to die, and I can't. Ever since my wife moved into our apartment, I can't find my my plug to charge it. So
you literally need the plug.
Literally need the plug. Some Brandy, they've been talking about doing a Brandy versus Monica on with Versus, and Monica is like, absolutely not. She's like, they've been putting us against each other for 20 years. I have zero desire to continue to do that. And I think Monica will wash Brandy.
But oh.
Okay, let's listen to Baby Mama. First of all, the best Baby Mama song is Baby Mama by 3-6 Mafia. So there's that. Also, honorable mention to Baby Mother by Music Soulchild. Let's go. Wait, hold on. Did Brandy and Chance have hit records on their demo?
It's like, hey, remember what you did on Trophies? Could you like brighten that up a bit?
Yeah, could you pop it out?
It's a popped out Trophies, basically.
All right, let's go.
So for me, I was just like, you know, she's been around a long time. And
talk about
and
it.
Sometimes when artists are around a long time and they try to put out songs with a more contemporary sound, you know, it feels a certain kind of way. And I didn't think she sounded out of place on this at all.
I think she completely sounds
think so?
Out of all the places.
You think so? I mean, I'm not a big Brandy fan, though, you know.
Yeah, nah. To me, Brandy is one of those people who should be doing, like, she should be, like, she should have residencies in Vegas. She should be in a completely different category.
I don't know if she has enough hits for that.
That's what I'm saying. Like the way her career was going and how people wanted to love her and how a sect of people still do love her. Like, she could have pulled that off. She could have done something with like an international Italian singer like in 2001, and that would have blown up and put her in a totally different category. But now she's singing about providing for a baby with opportunity to lyricists.
So we talk about debut hip hop albums on this podcast a lot.
Yes.
She has an iconic debut R&B album.
Absolutely.
For people of our generation, like that, her first was three singles, which just like out of here.
I Want to Be Down, Best Friend, and Baby.
Yeah.
Yep. Killing. Murder. Great records. And then, yeah, then you move on to sitting Up in My Room and Missing You. And yeah. Then The Boy Is Mine. Yeah. Just huge.
Yeah. So like, I think... Aphrodisiac, that was that's the one with a lot of Timbo beats. Is that right?
It's what Timbaland does everything except like one or two records. Kanye's got a record on there too.
Oh yeah. Oh, Kanye.
Talk About Our Love.
Oh, I forgot about Talk About Our Love, man. 2004. What a time.
What a time.
What a time. Oh, he does a record. Wait, she's got a record with T.I. produced by Kanye?
Yeah. And I love the sample.
Do I know that song?
It's the same sample as Puff Daddy Pain. I Wish This Pain Would Go Away. Samples.
it's called Where You Want to Be. Song.
Where You Want to Be. Yep.
You're like, you don't have to tell me.
You know what?
I used to love this record.
Are we going to get some bongos? Because I feel like those are coming on the eighth bar.
Oh, let's see. Can you hear him? There they go. I talked over them. Oh, but they were there. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I know those Kanye drums.
Those drums, yeah. They come with the bongo. The bongos are free.
Bongos. You pay for the sample clearance. Bongos, we throw that in.
Yeah, the samples. I used to love that song.
I haven't heard about that. Yeah. Yep. So that had Aphrodisiac.
That had Talk About Our Love. Who Is She to You.
Oh, I've said.
That was it. Had the record with Timbaland sample Clocks.
Yep.
I used to love that song until, like, that was my introduction to Clocks. I think. Because then I heard that, and then I heard Clocks, and I was like, oh, this is way better.
But that was kind of mostly it for her for a little while, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, Full Moon had some joints, I think. Yeah, Aphrodisiac, and then I think she had a record called, like, 211, I want to say.
She's got a record.
But that came out like way after.
Yeah. She kind of, you know, she fell off.
But I think that was also around the time that she had the car accident.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that all the time.
Yeah, there's like a lot of personal stuff going on, which kind of kept, I think she got a divorce. Like, it was just a bunch of personal stuff that kept her from. Like,
really crazy. That second Brandy record has a ton of Dark Child. Yeah.
Yep.
Dark Child. Oh, I forgot about Top of the World.
I always hated that song.
Yeah, it's not really, you know.
Always hated that song. I think Mace was dancing in that video. Yes, he was. He was doing choreography.
Yeah, that's like Mace on the way out, right?
Nah,
because that's before Harlem World, so.
Yeah, because that's 97 and Harlem World is 98, right?
I think Harlem World is 99. Well, I mean the Harlem World album, not Harlem World. The Harlem World, the group. How about that? That's 99, yeah. I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, because Double Up is... Oh, Double Up is 99.
Double Up is 99.
Take Me There was 98. Okay. Yeah, Harlem World was 99. The Movement.
The Movement. I like it. They had a Kanye record on it, too.
Two of them.
Two of them. You Made Me
and Minuteman. Looks like a Bill Withers sample, but
Harlem World is just notorious for Mino and then Mino getting exasperated. And I don't even know if that's the right word to use by Jay-Z on the Mind Right remix.
Here's the amazing thing about the Harlem World album, right? So it's 99, so it's a little early for some of these producers, but I'm going to list this producer list and somehow this album did not work, right? So Kanye, Trackmasters, Just Blaze, D-Dot, The Neptunes, Dame Grease, Jermaine Dupri.
That's crazy.
That's most of the album.
That's crazy.
And this album is widely sort of regarded as a, you know what I mean? Now, that's early on for Kanye and Just Blaze, but 99 Neptunes, D-Dot, Dame Grease.
But we know about Just Blaze, though.
Yeah, I mean, he did I Really Like It, which, you know.
I mean, but Just Blaze back then was doing his best Swiss Beats impression.
Of course, of course.
Until, shoot, Dynasty?
Well, he was in-house at Sony.
Okay, there you go.
Back when him and Spot were both, you know, it's way back. And we're going way back now.
Wow. Shout out to Spot.
He's the Don. Man.
Man. Shout out to Spot. Spot had a record with Jess, didn't he? He had a couple.
Yeah. I told you that the, what was the Just Blaze record for Shine on Shine's second album?
Diamonds and Mac 10s, because we heard it.
Well, not only that.
I think he put it out.
So Spot wanted it. He wanted, and this is when I was looping instrumentals. So.
Yep.
I looped it up, and I looped it up good enough that he played it for Just Blaze, and Just Blaze was like, "Well, I'll just give you the instrumental then."
Wow!
I was like, "See, just put that on my Wikipedia page someday."
Yeah, man! shout out to Doc and Big T,
Rough Draft Entertainment. Give me some gongs.
I wonder if those we should open up our project with a gong.
No.
I wonder any of those. Those instrumental. Listen, y'all. I think I've shared this on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure we're telling the same stories. I'm sure.
Doc in those days. Okay, so if you guys remember, like in the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s, you know, in the mixtape era, there were two guys who were known for putting out like great instrumental mixtapes. That was Sycamore and that was J Arms, and so that game was kind of lucrative because I mean rappers were. Literally buying these instrumental mixtapes for, you know, a new album would come out and it would have certain beats and the beats would be on there. Sometimes J Arms would have relationships and Sycamore would have relationships with the producers to get the actual beat. And sometimes they'd be really bad loops. What Doc would do, Doc in his ear, he would hear the little intricacies in the beat and he would like literally splice them out and create the beat verbatim as best he could. And in a lot of cases, it was like exact and on point. And producers were using, rappers were using them on their mixtapes. Some of them would get rid of the gong because the gong was like his drop. J Arms himself was getting rid of the gong and adding his airplanes over Doc's instrumentals.
Uh-huh. What a time. I mean, that's how I taught myself how sampling works, right? Because once I taught myself song structure and all that stuff because it's like, oh, I need this section. I need this quarter of this bar. And, you know, it started with like, oh, I see this, you know, this artist left a big chunk of this instrumental. I can just loop this part and loop this part. And then it became, oh, they left a little gap here, there and everywhere. And then I would reassemble. And what do you know? I walked backwards in learning how to sample. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the days. those are the days where like a new project would come out and then I'd be like, all right, let me get busy. How many can I loop up right now?
Yep. You'd send them to me like, Doc, the new blah, blah, blah is out. Like, I need this beat.
I think
I would be listening for that stuff too and be like, Doc, loop.
I think the first one I really did was Blueprint 2.
Yeah. Cause you had,
I had 70% of them. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you had Somehow, Some Way. You had a lot of them.
Way, way back.
I should wrap over Somehow, Some Way. Or you should flip.
Anyway, right. we went from Brandy to Somehow, Some Way.
To instrumental mixtapes.
Yeah, nothing else is really going on. So let's talk about the new number one song in the country by The Scots, aka Travis Scott and Kid Cudi. Did you pay attention at all to Travis Scott's Fortnite thing?
No, and I'm gonna tell you why. I was actually shocked that people were into this because, like, yo, I'm like, my kids were on Fortnite like two summers ago. And, you know, I share the story about, you know, being a long distance parent. Anytime my kids come with me for the summer, I don't know what's cool anymore. As soon as I figure out what's hip and what's with it, and then I figure out like what it is, the kids come back and they're like, oh yeah, that's terrible. And that's what happened with Fortnite. I learned about Fortnite. They put me on a Fortnite. They left. They came back for Christmas. And they're like, yeah, Dad, Fortnite is trash. So when I see Travis on Fortnite, I'm like, are they behind the curve? Like, are people still playing Fortnite? Because according to my children and my nephews that range between, you know, 11 and 18 years old, they aren't. So I looked at it as a step backwards. And it reminded me of how older people were responding to Tootsie Slide. Mm. Like how they were like, oh yeah, this is going to get the youths. Was like, no, not really. This is going to get the people who think they know what the youths are into. And I've just learned that, like, unless you have younger people in your circle that you are consistently engaging with, you have no idea what the kids are into. Yeah. Like the stuff that they're into is just, it's so underground. It's like nowhere near where we are.
Yep.
Nowhere near. So, I saw it, thought it was cool. Like, hey, good for Travis. Travis is always doing, you know, weird and different, not weird, but just different stuff to, you know, keep himself out there. So, you know, it is what it is.
What did you think of the song?
You know, I skimmed through it. It didn't sound terrible. But I'm not a Travis fan. I'm definitely not a Cudi fan. So this is just not my bag.
Here's the thing. Like, this song is fine.
There you go.
It's fine. But I think we now have to consider Travis Scott an A-list rapper, like upper echelon, because so this is now his third number one overall single, Sicko Mode and Highest in the Room with the other two. And you could say with Sicko Mode, well, that's the beat and that's Drake or whatever. Highest in the Room is him, right? It's all him. That's such a Travis Scott kind of song. And this song is like, there's nothing crazy or amazing about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's Kid Cudi. People know Kid Cudi, but Kid Cudi's never had enough. This is Kid Cudi's first number one single. This is like, I think we can now safely say, like, Travis put something out, like, you know, he's probably going to go number one or close to it. And I don't know if he was quite there. Like, Astroworld got him pretty close to that, but like, he wasn't quite there yet. I think to me, that's what this tells me is like, oh, I see. Travis is now at that level. He's got, because he has the combination of, I mean, he has that kind of fervent fan base that Kanye has, you know, who will buy everything that he puts out. But his sound is more of the moment than Kanye's is, right?
Yeah.
Even though, of course, I mean, we're talking Travis Scott and Kid Cudi, like, you know, with a Mike Dean synth outro, like the amount of Kanye related stuff happening here is, you know, you could say his influence will be felt all over this, but I don't know. To me, this is like, oh, okay. Travis is now at this point, right? Like, much like Drake can put out Tuesday Slide and we sit there and go, is the world bored? And the answer was yes. Now it's like, oh, okay. Now Travis is on that kind of level too, which I don't know if I thought of him in quite at that point. Like, to me, he was like a tier below. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think a few things. One, it goes back to my point about us just not really knowing like where the kids are influenced. And Travis is one of those people where, like, though Travis is pop.
Mm.
And by pop, I mean, he just had like, he's got the suburban kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Suburban kids have Astroworld merch and Travis Scott ones and, you know, like, yeah, they eat up everything that he does. That's different. We could say that it's a, you know, there's a Kardashian effect at play, and maybe so, but he just has that level of influence. I mean, God, his Netflix special was, it was so self-serving, but it really just showed how, you know, how he's got a hold on those streets, you know? So I'm not surprised. I feel like, okay, let me ask you this, yeah. Doc. If an artist is able to sell a stimulus package, does that not denote that they're an upper tier artist?
It's a good question. I think it definitely, it's a strong, I think it's a leading, it's definitely a strong indicator, right?
Yeah.
Just, I would say before Astroworld, he just didn't have, like, his career has really been just building and building. It's this giant snowball effect. You know what I mean? And really mm-hmm. Highest in the Room should have been, like, that should have really, I mean, I actually really like that song, but like that's a case where like that is just such a uniquely Travis Scott kind of sound. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that went number one first week as well. And that did really well for him. So shouldn't be surprised by this, but like to me it's more like, oh, the Scott's record is underwhelming. And yeah, the Fortnite thing helped, right? But it's not like it's not like those count towards his streams. It just helped with exposure. So like he's now a big enough of a name, and it's a big enough of a thing where it's like, oh, it's a Travis Scott record.
Let me also ask you this. What does it mean to go number one when nobody's putting music out?
It's a good question. When the box is still in the top five right now?
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Now I understand. So my wife and I were perusing. Look at all these wife name drops. We were perusing through the tiki-taki, through the TikToks, and I totally get why that stuff counts for streams now.
Why is that?
Like, as I'm just swiping through the explore page, because I still haven't set up a profile and done all that stuff yet. But like, I'm looking and I'm like, yo, like, this is how those things ramp up. It's not just Spotify and Apple Music. Like, oh, I totally get now why record labels have relationships with these apps. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. We think we're getting a Travis project this year or no?
Yeah.
He could take a year off.
He's not going to.
It's the kind of thing where like if everybody, I mean, COVID-19 is throwing everybody for a loop, right? Without that, you look at this and go, well, I mean, Drake dropped this week, but you know, Drake's already talking about, you know, it's interesting when you're already talking about your next project, when your current project just went out, but
we're going
to
get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there. But like Kendrick's rumored to come out. I mean, Kanye's always working. Jay's maybe kind of due. Who knows with Rihanna? I could see, like, it's just, it feels like a lot of big names could come out this year, but this is throwing everybody for a loop.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Pusha T himself said that Jesus Is King 2 was halted due to COVID.
I mean, I think that was halted because, I don't know. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to do a, like, if there are any, like, blogs left or websites left doing actual like journalism stuff, can someone get to the bottom of how come there are so many Kanye West leaks?
The same reason why there are so many Drake leaks currently.
There's a lot of Drake leaks right now, but the Kanye leaks were honestly unparalleled.
It's crazy. I think there's too many people there.
Just too many.
And I don't think that Kanye or his team can really account for it. You know what I'm saying? Like when things are very in-house, like you notice. And maybe all of these Drake leaks are indicative of, you know, OVO not being as in-house as it was before, because very rarely would you get, you know, an OVO leak. But now, Kanye leaks, especially like from, God, his whole pretty much Yandy album is out.
Oh, yeah.
And done. Like, there are, like, listen, y'all, if you have any of those Yandy leaks, you might want to check back. Because the version that you have, five more versions of that have probably leaked since then. Like, it was crazy how many different versions of Alien there are. How many different versions, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
I wonder if that reflects the way that the creative process has changed, right? Where it used to be, I mean, even in, you know, I mean, you and I have been collaborating, you know, remotely forever, right? But it's now super incredibly commonplace for like, oh, I've got this version of a song. I sent it to this person to work on. Like, it's got to be a thing where like Kanye just has like sent so many versions to so many different people to like put their touch on it or to like work on it or give their opinion or whatever. That's the only way I can possibly think to explain how there are so many different like, oh, it's mix one, it's mixed. It literally feels like somebody got access to his like private Dropbox, basically. You know what I mean? Like, it's that ridiculous.
Yeah, true.
I mean, and I think when you go outside of your camp and when you're, you know, having people far and wide work on stuff, like, yeah, you know, you're going to risk stuff leaking for sure. But I think it's just, I think it's indicative of like, even when you went outside your camp before, like when you're an artist like Drake, you might, I think it was common for a long time. Oh, I need last minute vocals from insert famous rapper here. I'm going to send them the thing. Mm-hmm. They might send me the mix and go, but then we get it on the project. But now I think increasingly like the creative process of coming, like of getting to that final, not like, oh, I need the list last minute verse to wrap it up. Oh no, I've got like this producer collaborating with this producer. Like they're not even in the same time zone, you know? Let me add this synth and send it back to you. Like, there's just so many versions of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got to play a role too.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.